Good to have everyone here this morning. Thank you for joining us. Quick reminder, today is First Sunday, so we'll have a fellowship meal after our morning worship. So please make your plans to stay with us. This morning we have a real treat. Jeff Patton is here. He's the preaching school student that we are supporting at the North Carolina School of Biblical Studies, Warner Chapel. Brother Mike Lynn, who used to preach here, was the director of that school. So we're thankful to have Jeff here. Jeff is here with his son, Universal, wife, Alicia, and the daughter, Modesty. Not able to be here with us, but hopefully we'll get to meet them in the near future. We're so thankful for Jeff and for his coming. And Big Dusty will also be preaching this morning and in our worship service, so we'll look forward to that as well. Before he comes up, if you don't mind, we'll take a moment to have prayer together, and then I'll turn it over to Jeff. Almighty God and Father above, we're so thankful, Father God, that you love us, and Father, you have continued to bless us so immensely. Father, we're thankful for Jeff and for his family, for their dedication to preaching your word. Pray that you'll bless him as he continues to learn and to grow in the school in your Warner Chapel. We pray that you'll bless him and all the students. I pray, Father, that your word will continue to flourish in North Carolina and throughout this world. I pray that you'll please bless and be with him this morning as he shares your word with us. Father, help us all as Bible students to continue to challenge ourselves and to grow. Father, again, we're just so overwhelmed by the grace and mercy of our Lord and Savior. And it's through the name of Jesus Christ we offer this prayer.
Amen. Good morning, Sam.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Okay. Someone just asked me a short while ago, have you ever preached in a strange congregation? And I replied, well, among my brothers and sisters, wherever I go, and then he kind of agreed with that. So that would make me feel a little bit at ease just to come to ask me. I just want to use that as a kind of icebreaker. This morning, I'm going to talk about temptation and sin. I'm sure it's a subject that most of us are familiar with. Let's face it, we are all humans, and we all face temptation, sin. We have all been guilty of temptation, and we all have committed sin. Romans 6:23 tells us, for we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. We will be eternally lost if we continue in sin and do not repent. Romans 6:16 says, do you know that whom you present yourselves slaves to obey? You are the one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or obedience, leading to righteousness. If we are not careful, we can be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. James 1:12, which we'll be discussing later on this morning. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. When he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. We must not give in to sin at any cost. Many of you have any questions or comments so far? Okay, let's continue. Satan is referred to the tempter, the one who does tempt him. In Matthew 4, most of you all may be familiar with Satan tempted Jesus in the wilderness. But we must realize that God does not tempt anyone. James 1:13-15. Let no one say that he is tempted. I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. And when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death. This is spiritual death, which we will be eternally lost. So it's important. There's nothing wrong with being tempted. It's just that when we give in to the temptation, that's where the problem is. As I just said earlier, Jesus was tempted by Satan 3 times. He didn't give in. How did he respond? He responded by God's word. He quoted scripture. And that's what we should do when we are tempted. We should reach out to God for his help. Go to his word. And we may endure the temptation and overcome it. Got a question. How many of you here play the lottery? Don't ask that question. But let's say that the lottery is $2 billion. And you've been struggling on your bills. And you're like, man, I can pay my bills. I can get out of debt. Or you've had this eye on this bright, shiny Cadillac. I can buy that new car. I've been paying rent for years. I can finally own the home. But no matter how great the temptation would be, you should reach out for God. Christians, our citizenship is not here on earth. It's here, it's in heaven. So that's what we should look forward to. Look forward to the things in heaven, not the things on this earth. No matter how great it is, money, is what we know, is the root. The love for money is the root. It's for all evil. So yes, you may win the lottery. You say, well, I'll play it. But what if you win? You can't hide it. These days, they let everybody know that you want, this president right here won $2 billion. So, everybody's going to know that you won. How are you going to explain that to the congregation? How are you going to explain that to God? It might be a temporary instant gratification, but playing the lottery, your plan is winning. So, if you play in the lottery, it's like you say, I trust man, more than I trust God. God, he will provide for you if you trust him. And I know this from my own personal situation. I was working 12-hour days, 6 and 7 days a week. And I was like, it's got to be a better life than this. Life's no way out. I was making decent money, but I have a family. And I was involved heavily in church. But working all those hours, 6 and 7 days a week, 12 hours a day, I wasn't really a good father, a good husband, and I wasn't really a good member of the church. I worked 12 hours a night, so I went to church every Sunday. So I was there physically, but mentally, I could not be there. When I was at home, the only thing I did was sleep, but I had to get back up and go right back to work. And then Brother Mike Glenn, the director of the school where I'm attending, he came to preach a sermon about needing gospel men, gospel preachers, the brotherhood. Not already been thinking about it. And I even did a little research on it. It was a school, it was online, but I was like, I don't know if I can do this. Go to work. So my mom was still trying to say, okay, do this and work. Because I had a family to support. wife. I told her about it, and she told me that. But after Mike left, I preached. The information was on the bulletin board, and my wife was trying to give it to me. I said, yeah, okay, I just kind of brushed it off. Then maybe about a week or two later, I looked at it and took a picture of it on my phone, and then I reached out to Brother Mike, and he said, well, we can raise support for you while you're in school. And I said, that might work. I said, okay. So a little more into that, I talked to my wife, and we decided, okay. My wife, she was working, most of them, I'm going to share this with you also. We have a daughter who's autistic, she's nonverbal. So there are different things that go on, you know, throughout our lives. My wife, she was working for a company, working from home. And every now and again, she may have to step away, tend to my daughter, something that she may need. So this was fine, you know. So that I'll quit my job, which I did, I quit my job. Big boy to school, had some savings. I said, okay, she's working, her income, my savings, you know, my baby. Do some things for about a year, and then we raise support during the time, and everything will be okay. But that was our plan. That wasn't God's plan. So my daughter, you know, like I said, there are things that happen. Every now and again, or I had to step away. And her present manager was fine with the situation. He was working with us, you know, she always got work here. But he took the position somewhere else, and new manager came in. They didn't like it. So, of course, you know, she still had to leave. So they gave her an ultimatum. So we can't keep having you doing this. So they gave her an ultimatum and asked her, you can either resign, and we'll give you a severance, or you can continue, and there's another occurrence, we're going to let you go, and we won't give you a severance. So, of course, we knew that there was going to be another situation where she was about to leave. So she resigned. Don't forget, I already quit my job. So, savings, where it was supposed to last, it goes through very quickly. Now, she's unemployed, I'm unemployed. We were gonna raise money for like a year, so now I kind of have that, and then was gonna rely on the support. So now we're relying on the support for everything. But I just want to mention that just to tell you that if you trust in the Lord and you are righteous, we'll provide for you. My family and I, we haven't wanted for anything. We've had everything that we need. And when you have everything you need, you trust the Lord, it's not going to be too much more than else that you would want. So I'm grateful for this congregation, because you all have supported my family. That without you all, this would not be possible. I'm sorry I kind of got off this topic for a minute, but I just wanted to share that with you. Even though I might have been tempted, I was tempted, but once I made up my mind, quit. I wanted to quit. And I'm glad I did. It's probably the best decision I ever made in my life. I wasn't the usual type of person who like to, quote, gamble. But I just said, okay, it's time for yourself. Step out of faith. If you want something to change, you got to make a change. And I made this change, and I'm standing before you here today. 5 years ago, I could not see this. I'm so grateful, so thankful for the opportunity that I can study, learn God's word, and I can share it with you all. Now, what about you? Temptation and sin. God will not allow us to be tempted more than we can bear. 1 Corinthians 10:13 tells us, no temptation has overtaken you except as is common to man. But God is faithful, and will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation, will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. 2 Peter 2:9. But the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust unto punishment for the day of judgment. So how do we protect ourselves from temptation? In Matthew 26:41, Jesus tells us to watch and pray lest you enter temptation. We are to be, as 1 Peter 5:8-9 tells us, be sober, be vigilant, because of your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the truth. But how do we keep from sinning when we are tempted? Hebrews 12:1. We are to lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us. And I just mentioned earlier, we are not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do we renew your mind? To protect ourselves from sin. Psalms 119:11 tells us, your word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. So it's important that we learn God's word, study God's word, so that we will have these things inside of us. So those times when we need strength, we can turn to God's word. We have it in us, and we know the things that we're supposed to do. Then we must, James 1:22 tells us, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Because, James 4:17, to him that knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Brothers and sisters, the terror of the Lord awakes us. Those because of sin, and who are unprepared to stand before the Lord in judgment. Let's not be deceived by sin. Now, what about others when they have fallen away in temptation? Galatians 6:1 tells us, brethren, if any man is overtaken in trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourselves, lest you also be tempted. Any comments? Questions?
On the word, God won't tempt you more. Well, God don't tempt you. He will provide a way out. People say, well, it wasn't wrong or God would have given you. Well, God knows. He gives you it. Well, you've got to use it. No matter what Scripture says, it can say what it wants to all day long. If you don't apply it, it's useless. If you don't share it, it's useless. People say, take it and store it in your heart. Well, you do, but you don't store it to keep. You store it so you can recall it when you need it.
You know, brother, I'm glad that you are talking about sin, because in the body of Christ, I'm always hearing, and I want to hear your comment, I want to hear the brother and sister comment on this, that we sin every day.
Sure do.
Really?
Yeah.
We don't have to.
That's what God. That's what Christ's continual blood's for when you don't recognize it. It's not for just when you want to.
So why is it that we don't, and they say that too, this has been such a burden on my heart when I hear God's people say that. We don't have to sin. And let me tell you what I have around my neck. But when I get excited, I miss you. So I got to read it. When Jesus died, and this is in Romans, the 6th chapter, and the 10th and the 11th verse. When Jesus died, he died once to break the power of sin.
Yep.
But now that Jesus lives, He lived for the glory of God. So you, we, also should consider ourselves, yourself, to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Christ Jesus. Yes, we may sin, but it's because you made that choice to sin. That's why Jesus hung on the cross, to break that power that Satan has over us. And James say that you resist the devil and he will flee from you. Yeah. So we got power, brothers and sisters. When we sin, we don't have to. It's because we chose to sin just like Eve in the garden. And say if we do sin. Say if we do sin. 1 John 1, 9 states that if any man sin, all you got to do is confess it. And he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. What? He's going to cleanse me from all unrighteousness? I can give an example. 20 years ago, everybody know that I retired, maybe not everybody, from the military. And I had a forward mouth. Woo! And when I came out of that water, sometime later, something happened that startled me, and a curse word slipped out. I'm not going to say what it is. A curse word slipped out. And I remember the brother at that time saying, look, when you sin, you confess, and he is faithful and just to forgive you. And I said those words back to God. And do you know what? Over the 20 years, when I was stumped my toe or when something happened, no curse word came out. And at that moment, I will always say, Lord, I thank you for cleaning my heart. So God's word is true. God's word is true. And what was that? Then I'm going to hush. Because this is a subject that's very dear and near to my heart. And I think that ain't no thinking in it. God's people got the wrong attitude. I was at a Bible study one time, and they were talking about, the topic was repetitive sin. Repetitive sin.
That's continued, yeah.
Okay? It's choice. And I was about to say something like I'm talking now. Brother just kind of calmed me right on down and kind of hushed me up. Not a problem. Didn't get offended. God, I'm living for Jesus. But afterwards, yeah. By that time, I was a stronger Christian, too. Mm-hmm. Hadn't been at the beginning. But anyway, afterwards, I went over there and showed him 1 John 1, 9. Yeah. And he looked at me and said, I know, but we don't believe that.
What?
God.
I was going to say just real briefly, I think I'm just... Gina's hitting on an important thing. Romans chapter 6 and verse 1. We will look at Romans 6 and talk about immersion and why it's important, which is good. But notice how that chapter begins. And it's right off of a discussion in Romans about grace and why none of us can claim goodness or holiness on our own. None of us are righteous. However, what does he say? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And then, you know, you have the translations, God forbid, certainly not. Right? His point that he's trying to get across there is that as a child of God, my relationship to sin has to change. And I cannot say or try to use God's grace as a license to continue in sin. Going back to 1 John 1, verse 7, in that same context says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then his blood cleanses us continually of sin. However, that if statement is so important that it's conditional on my walking away from sin. And so we have to be careful. Yes, the blood of Christ cleanses us of all sin, but that doesn't give us just an open tab to sin whenever we want.
Nope.
Anybody else?
But we're not perfect, and he knew. That's why Romans, or John, she's talking about sin there, because he knew we would. Even, it don't have to be intentional, but he knew we would sin, and that's why he gave us a way out to repent and come back.
And he cleanses us.
That's right.
You know what? I was reading through the Old Covenant, and even in the Old Covenant, when the people sinned intentionally, do you know what they had to do? They had to take an animal to the priest and sacrifice. But if we today had to do that as God's children, anytime we make a sin, oh my goodness, I said a curse word, and that is a sin. Thinking negative thoughts, that's a sin because we serve the Lord in our mind. And I got to take my animal. I will be very careful about sin.
They were too.
Yeah.
I agree.
Okay. I just had to make that point.
And to piggyback off of something you said earlier, you said you had to acknowledge your sins. Also, in James 5:19, it says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. And as he said, special prayer of a righteous man avails much. So if you say that, confess, and you need to be righteous. Okay. So what does sin do to us? Sin separates us from God. I don't think any of us want to be separated from God. So it's important that if we do sin, we must acknowledge the sin and pray for repentance, pray and ask for forgiveness, and strive to not continue in that sin and to do better in the future. Sin is very deceitful, alluring, and ensnaring. If we're not careful, we can gradually give into it and become comfortable in sin. We must be watchful and overcome temptation and live faithfully, godly lives, so that we can go to heaven when this life is over. I think that's why we all here this morning, is that we all want to go to heaven. Excuse me, this way.
We have to also be aware that there's sin of omission as well as sin of commission.
Yes.
And I wonder sometimes about sin that we're not even aware of, you know. So there's newborn babes that sin, and then I've been a Christian a long, long time, and I gain knowledge every time I study.
Yes.
And I don't know anybody that doesn't. It's really studies, you know. You gain knowledge, and then the more I know, the more I realize, the less I know. And so we're constantly can be convicted of things we need to change and grow. And so that not doing is a sin. The act of commission, him to know to do good and doeth it not, is sin. And sometimes we get busy in our lives and we don't do the things that we should. Our priorities are flipped sometimes. And so we get caught up on the overt sins, you know, the things that we know that we trip up on sometimes. And but it's just as easy to get stumbled and not doing the things that, leaving things undone.
Right. But it's so true. I think we all might be in that situation, because we all strive to do what is right. Anyone knows right from wrong. We're Christians. We try to strive to do right. And this, as the sister just mentioned, but sometimes there's some things that we're not even aware that we're doing wrong. So when we pray, our mediator, which is the Lord Himself, He knows our heart. He knows the things that we might not mention it in prayer, but he'll kind of clean the prayer up to what it is exactly what we need, and then send it before his Father, our Heavenly Father.
Well, that verse that says he makes those things that are as though they are,
yes,
or not.
Yes.
So, I mean, he knows that goes back to the condition of the heart.
Yes.
You know, but it's still there. It's still a matter of growth. It's still a matter of prioritizing. And we all need to be convicted of the things that we left undone, that we leave undone.
And it's good that you're acknowledged, you know, that you do not know everything, and that you, when you study, that you feel convicted. That's what we all should feel. We all should feel some type of conviction. That's the only way we're able to grow. We can't assume that, okay, we made it, we're Christians, and that's it. We're going to heaven. It's a continual work in progress. We must study God's word. And it's like every time you study, every time I study, so every day I'm learning something new. I mean, I'm learning something new right now as I'm talking to you. I mean, we're all in this race together. It won't be complete until we're dead.
They say if you're not growing, you're dying.
Excuse me?
If you're not growing, you're dying.
Right. So we must continue each and every day. Anyone else? Yes, sir.
I wanted to say back to Regina's original comment about Christians who say it's almost like dismissively, oh yeah, well I sin every day. And it stings because I think of the dismissiveness of what that actually means when you say, you know, you just openly sin every day. And that's maybe not what they mean in their heart, because obviously we all do things every day that we shouldn't do, and we have to continue with a humble heart and be repentant of. But it's just, there's this, I don't know, I don't think there's this mentality in our church and in our culture that we can easily say, oh yeah, well I sin, you sin, we all sin, but we don't want to like call out the what exactly are you sinning? How are you sinning? And on a personal note, I've had a really rough week, are calling out sin. And people who are very close to me have really kind of turned their back and been ugly, saying that I am not loving and that I am, you know, that I need to, you know, look at my own heart. And it's just hard because, you know, when you call it a specific sin and or someone's supporting a sin and just ask the basic question, why are you supporting this sin? You know, I know you profess Christ, you profess to be a Christian, you believe the Bible, why are you supporting this sin? And, you know, when you're called out and saying that's not loving, I don't know, that's kind of was very personal to me, and I understand what she's saying. You know, we all like to say, yeah, well, of course, I sin every day, but really, do you, are you separated from Christ every day?
Trying to make sure I understand.
There's a lot there.
Before I respond, if anybody ever want to help me out, I don't want to tell you anything wrong. It sounds to me as if you were confiding in someone about something that you felt kind of remorseful about, and the person that you were confiding in didn't receive it like you thought they might receive it, like a loving Christian. Am I correct?
Right.
All right.
Well, I think it's kind of the other way, like she was, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but someone else was endorsing the sin.
Oh,
yeah. She helped them out.
She's just trying to correct them and say, hey, you can't do that.
Okay. So that person was bragging about the sin.
Openly proud that they were supporting this person in their sin.
And Romans tells you that you're as guilty as they are if you support it.
Yeah.
Read the first chapter of Romans.
But I think there's a bigger point that we go back to here is as Christians, we see the real depravity of sin. And we love the soul. We understand ourselves that we have been brought out of sin. And we can't do it on our own. But we have to be careful, even if we don't intend it, and we probably don't intend it to be a prideful statement of, well, I sin every day, you know, we all sin every day. It almost comes off as a sense of glorifying sin. We're to be people who we're trying to rise above sin.
Even though we all know that we do sin every day, the thing is, we're trying not to sin every day. It's like we're trying to grow so that we would not sin. It's not right to just be like, oh, well, we all sin and have that attitude. No, we're trying not to sin.
That's the thing about saying we sin. To me, though, is saying I need help because I do it, and I don't mean to do it, but I do it, and I need, you know, your prayers as well as my own not to do it.
Because if I come
across as holier than thou, as the old saying goes, I do nothing wrong and you're wrong. That's worse than admitting to it, in my opinion. That's where we get into opinions, I guess. I don't know.
Well, and it all boils down to where you're at in your Christianity.
Yep.
If you are a new babe and all of this, then yeah, you might actively be sinning every day because we are learning how not to. We are learning how to fight this off and on. But what is our attitude after that? Now, my job is incredibly high stress. It is life and death a lot of times. At the end of that, I say, ooh, I might could have had a better attitude during that. My attitude was not what it needed to be. And address that as, yes, that would be sinful of sorts in what my attitude was, but were we actively sitting and okay with it? What is our attitude after we have done something? How do we address it? We all have to be very real with ourselves. And Becky, I hate that went that way because, yes, no one is perfect. But when we are addressing someone and they're saying, we're supposed to do that. Now, at the same time, if I know I struggle with something and you struggle with something and you struggle with something, we ought to know that and be checking in on each other.
Yeah.
Hey, how are you doing with this? I don't struggle with that, so let me help you through that. But you know I struggle with something you don't struggle with. Help me through that. And have those checks and balances. But if we are actively sinning every day, we are not where we need to be.
I'm glad that you mentioned the new baby in Christ. Now, a new baby in Christ, who are they going to be close to? Going to be close to Christ, close to the world?
Close
Christ
to the world.
Okay. So we, as Christians, we need to be the example. They don't know God's word yet. So they're looking at us. So we're doing things as Christians like they're doing out in the world. What do you think they're going to do? A lot of times they might not even survive.
Follow examples.
The other thing that sin gets in the way of within the church or people that's been raised in the church is this feeling that you've got to get rid of sin before you can commit to Christianity.
And that's completely the opposite.
Yeah, it is.
And it's the opposite. It's, yeah.
That's a struggle.
One, two, there may have been sin that I've struggled with in the past. We can't, sometimes maybe we have the deal that because I struggled with it, or maybe I'm still struggling with it, that I can't help someone else who's struggling with it. And you may be the very person that can reach that individual that others can't because you have this immediate ability to empathize because you've been there. And so we have to be careful with that as well.
We're all in the body. We all play, as you said, play a significant part of the body. We all are different, but we need each other to grow. And just like your brother just mentioned, you may have gone through something that no one else can go through. You can relate to this person, or you may be related to this other person. No, everyone, we all have a past, and there's things that we've been through and things that we've overcome.
Yep.
We can use those things to help someone else grow. And as we just mentioned, there seems to be no shame today by men who participate in sin. And Jeremiah 6:15 tells us, were they ashamed that they had committed abomination? No, they were not all ashamed, nor did they know how to rush. They weren't even trying to lay it off. The modern world today is rapidly casting all moral restraints. They want to, as Isaiah 5:20 says, call evil good and good evil. Sin at its first beginning with lust. James 1:15 tells us, then lust has conceived, it brings forth sin, and when sin is finished, brings forth death. As we mentioned earlier, that's the spiritual death. All of our actions first originate in our minds. Proverbs 23:7 says, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." We are what we think. Those who think on evil things become evil. Just those who know us, they remember that how they were and know us, they what did God do?
So evil, God destroyed.
God destroyed.
I'm sorry, brother. Say that statement again. I didn't catch it.
I referenced Noah.
Okay.
It's like people were wicked Noah saying, I asked her, so what did God do to them?
Yeah, I caught it now.
But how can our thinking be used for us to live godly lives so we can go to heaven? We must continue to study God's word. Let it be an important part of our lives. For us to go to heaven, Colossians 3:2 says, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. I'm going to go ahead and stop here. But I don't have enough time to finish the rest of it. Does anyone have any other questions or comments?
I like the song, Yield Not to Temptation.
That's going to be the title of my lesson this Sunday this morning. Yield not to temptation. Anyone else have any questions or comments? I'm not sure what you all do next, but I appreciate you all letting me stand before you and share a lesson with you this morning.
Thank you, sir.
Good.
So,